When we talk to people about their faith and some of the things that they do in their religious service, we point out that what they do is, well, it's not mentioned in the Bible. There's nothing there about it. And sometimes they may answer, but the Bible doesn't say, I can't do that. Otherwise, you know, we look at the scriptures and it tells us what God has authorized, but they look at the scriptures and see, well, if God hasn't objected to it, then it's okay. This was a point of contention between Ulrich Zwingli and Martin Luther back in the time of the Reformation. Luther said, if it's not prohibited, it's authorized. But Zwingli said, if it's not authorized, it's prohibited. And the point is that if you can't find a thus saith the Lord for it, then you can't do it. Whereas Luther said, well, if I can't find where God objected to it, then it's all right. This seems to be the answer for many people. But you know, the Bible doesn't speak about every situation. The Bible would have to be an awfully thick book if it contained all the, you might say, thou shalt nots that God could think of when it comes to what we do in our faith and practice. A silly illustration that I've used in the past was, well, what about tossing babies? Could we toss babies as a religious act? You know, everybody loves babies. Maybe we're going to say, well, we're kind of helping them to get up to heaven, and we'll toss babies. Or, well, what about hula hoop? Could we hula hoop to God? Well, you might say those are very silly. But again, the Bible does not say, I can't do that. And so if my standard is, unless it's prohibited, it's authorized, somebody could say, well, that's what we're going to do. Maybe everybody would laugh at them. But then again, you'll find a lot of things that are practiced in various religions that have just as much Bible authority behind them as tossing babies or in hula hooping or anything else that people might do. For instance, the Bible doesn't explicitly forbid us to have a holy dance. You know, in fact, there's a mention of that in the Psalms, dancing to the Lord. But we can't find that in the New Testament. It doesn't talk about, the scriptures don't talk about principles of relaxation. And there's a lot of call for that today. People go to yoga classes and various other situations trying to learn to relax and to get in touch with their inner person and various other things. But is that something that God wants us to do as a part of our religion, a part of our service? The doctrine of the Bible doesn't say I can't is really the source of a lot of error that creeps into people's faith. And of course, you really can't follow that idea and walk by faith. Romans chapter 1 verse 17 says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. And I'm afraid a lot of people's definition of faith is, well, I hope it's so. If I hope strongly enough in something, that's faith, and I can live by that. But again, that kind of thinking promotes division and not unity, because everybody can have their own opinions, and if your opinion is your faith, then we can have as many faiths as people have opinions. What is the command? It's unity. We see the situation that involved in Corinth, and Paul wrote to them in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same things, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Paul said, work for unity. Don't introduce things that cause division. To live by faith is to live as God has directed us. And we'll see that in many Bible examples. But on the other hand, saying that the Bible doesn't say I can't, it destroys living by faith. It sort of gives you the, well, I hope so kind of a life. Living by faith requires a word from God. And Romans 10:17 says that very clearly. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How can I have faith in a thing? because I've heard God on it. If God hasn't spoken on it, then I really can't have faith in it because, again, I don't know if God wants that or not. I believe the scriptures are complete and God has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. And so if I'm going to do something by faith, I need to be able to show, here's where I get my faith about that. You know, you can't trust in it without a word from God. And the passage reveals really the true source of living by faith. And this helps us to understand what it means to walk in the light. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. Walking in the light. It's walking by faith. Well, how can I know I'm walking in the light? For instance, here in this room, we have lights, and I can walk in it. What if I were blind? How would I know when I'm walking in the light? You say, well, you couldn't know. Well, I could if somebody would tell me. If I'm walking and they say, you're now in the light, and they're telling the truth, I could know I'm walking in the light. If I keep on walking and they say, you stepped out of the light and you're now in darkness, I'll know I'm not walking in the light. Well, how does a person know they're walking in the light as far as God is concerned? He's told us so. He's given us his word, and that's our light. Psalms 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's what illuminates our way, as it were, from earth to heaven. We can know we're walking in the light when we're following the teachings of God's word. In the same way that we can know we're walking by faith when we are walking according to that which comes by hearing, which is faith, hearing by the word of God. It reveals what is wrong with the, but the Bible doesn't say I can't doctrine as well. For instance, you can't have instruments in worship because you can't do it by faith. Where do you turn to in the New Testament, which is our authority, not the Old Testament? Where do you turn to in the New Testament that says instruments are permitted? And of course, there is no place in the New Testament that authorizes instruments. I can't do it by faith. Romans 14:23 tells us, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. If I can't do it by faith, but I go ahead and do it, and here I'm talking about something that I'm offering up to God in the way of worship or Christian practice, if I can't do it by faith, then I'm really walking out on my own opinion and trusting that God is somehow going to approve that. Secondly, you can't baptize babies because you cannot do it by faith. Where do you find in the New Testament that authorize a person to baptize somebody who doesn't believe? Now, we know that Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, Mark 16:16. But where do I find the authority to baptize somebody who doesn't believe? Babies don't believe because they're not able to understand the word. They have not reached that age of accountability. So how can I do it by faith? I would have to have something in the scriptures that says it's okay to baptize a baby. You can't preach the sinner's prayer because you can't do it by faith. Otherwise, you'd have to find it in the New Testament where somebody who's not a Christian prayed for salvation apart from any other things that God has required of them. It's just not there. Now, people do it all the time, but they can't do it by faith because there's no basis for that faith. And so if there's no word from God, there's no faith. Now let's look at some examples of people who did live by faith. For instance, Noah. Noah used gopher wood to build the ark. Genesis chapter 6, verse 14, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. He used gopher wood. Why did he use gopher wood? Because God told him to. He specified that particular kind of wood. Well, what kind of wood is that? I don't know. I never saw a gopher tree. I've never seen a gopher tree listed in any encyclopedia. But Noah must have known what it was because God told him to use that. I thought, well, what is it? Maybe it's another word for oak. We don't know. Because then again, it doesn't matter to us because we're not building an ark. But it did matter to Noah because Noah knew what God wanted. And he did it by faith. We see in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became the heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Noah, by faith, prepared an ark. How did Noah know to build an ark? God told him to. See, he had a word from God on it. How did he know what to build it out of? Again, he had a word from God. Build it of gopher wood. And you'll notice also there in Genesis chapter 6, verse 14, that he's told to pitch it within and without. Pitch is a black, tarry type substance. And he was to coat the ark on the outside and on the inside. How did Noah know to do that? God told him to. And so he could do it by faith. Others might have said, well, don't you think some caulking would be useful? Well, there's nothing, no mention about caulking here. The old ships that people used to build, I don't know if they still do it or not, but they would drive caulking in between the boards that comprise the body of the ship because that helped to make it watertight. And if you sprang a leak, well, you could drive more caulking up in there and make it tight again and it would stop leaking. There's nothing mentioned in the scriptures about caulking. We might want to use that. But again, if we had been building the ark and God specified the nature of the wood and the nature of the coating of it, and we decide, well, we need to make sure a little bit more. You know, maybe God doesn't know much about building arks. That's going beyond faith, isn't it? I'm not going to tell you how Noah built the ark, but I do know what the Bible says, and I know how he did it, and that was by following God's direction. He did it by faith. And that's the same way we work today. When we have God's direction on a thing, we can do it, because now we have the authority to do it, and we can do it by faith. Another example is Abraham. Abraham left his home in the Ur of Chaldees and went to the Canaan land. We see in Hebrews 11 and verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. Here's a man who really acted by faith. God says, get up, pack up, leave your home, and I'll show you where you're going someday. But when he left Ur, he didn't know where he was going. It just says there, not knowing whither he went. If somebody said to you, I want you to take a trip, your first question might be, where to? And they say, well, I don't know yet. Just get in your car and start driving. I'll let you know when you get there. No, sorry, I'm not going to do that. But Abraham, by faith, was willing to do that. How did Abraham even know that God wanted him to leave home? He told him. He had a word from God on it. And so that's the difference between doing something by faith and doing something just on our own notion. Again, a lot of people move away from home, but generally it's because they have some reason to. Abraham's reason was God told him to, and that was sufficient. Another example of Abraham is when he offered up his son Isaac. God told him in Genesis to take his son Isaac, his only begotten, the son he loved, and offer him as a burnt offering in a place that he would show him. And we see that in Hebrews 11, 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Of course, we know the story that God stopped Abraham before he was able to really do that. It was never God's intent that those who worship him should practice human sacrifice. In fact, where it's mentioned in the prophets, it's deplored. It's something that was an abomination to the sight of God. But God told Abraham in this instant, you go do that. So how did Abraham know that that was what God wanted him to do? He told him. He says, you go offer up Isaac. Well, what if could I substitute Ishmael? No, couldn't substitute Ishmael. Go offer Isaac. Today we might think that a person that would offer to do that was horrible, and we would want to have them arrested for even, you know, attempting it. But here, Abraham, by faith, did so because he had the word of God on it. A fourth example is Israel when they marched around the walls of Jericho. In Hebrews 11:30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Now again, that's not the way that people usually took a city in ancient warfare. They would bring siege engines against the city and batter down the walls. They would starve the people out. They'd camp around it for months and months and months until the people ran out of water and food, and oftentimes disease and other problems would occur. The people would fight against one another and eventually be weakened to the point that they could be taken. But that's not the way God told them to take the city of Jericho. He said, walk around it one time for 6 days, and the seventh day walk around it seven times, and then blow the horns and give a great shout and run straight toward the city. And of course we know from the story that the walls of the city fell down and they went right in and took it. I wonder how some of the people felt there under Joshua's leadership when Joshua said, we're going to walk around Jericho today, and that's all we're going to do. And they went out and they walked around. And the next day, well, what are we going to do, Joshua? We're going to go walk around the city again. And they went out and walked around it. And for 6 days they did that. And you wonder how some people might have been thinking, what is Joshua doing? All we're doing is wearing out our sandals, walking around this city, and it hasn't fallen. But Joshua was able to do it by faith because he had a word from God. God told him to. And that comes right back to us. How do we know to do what we do? Because we have in the New Testament the word that tells us how to practice. These examples and the definition of faith bring us to a conclusion. If God has specified, all else is excluded. For instance, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, Paul says, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Jesus said in Mark 16:15, preach the gospel. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Preach the word, preach the gospel, it's the same thing. And because it's been specified what to preach, that leaves out everything else. For instance, that leaves out human philosophy. There's a lot of stuff been written about philosophy, but it has no place in the preaching of Christ. That leaves out literature. Again, there's been much good literature written, and sometimes we might use it as an illustration of something, but we don't just preach literature in for itself, although people might enjoy listening to good books being read. We don't preach the evening news, although sometimes those things are in people's minds, and we might make reference to that as an illustration, but you know, we're not here as news commentators on what's happening in the world today. All these things are excluded because God has specified the content of preaching. We live by faith in what we say, and we use the example of preaching. Our preaching is according to the word of God. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. To be conscious that the things that we say need to be in perfect agreement with what God's word has said. And our efforts are for the faith. Jude in verse 3 says, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. Earnestly contend for what? For the faith. Well, what about my opinions? No, I shouldn't earnestly contend for my opinions. I might be able to tell you my opinion, but I'm not going to contend for them and fight for them and divide the church over them. We also live by faith in what we do. We must act by some authority. And many of the things we do based upon authority. You drove to services tonight, and you did so by authority of a little card that you have in your wallet, your driver's license. That's your authority to drive. And without that, you're not permitted to operate a vehicle on the road. That's your authority. Well, likewise, we have an authority when it comes to what we do as Christians, and especially in our worship, in Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And so somebody says, well, the stuff that we do in the name of the Lord. That is, we do in behalf of him. But that's not exactly what the word means, that is, in the name of. I believe it has more the idea of by the authority, not that we're doing it in his behalf or for his sake. What can you do in the name of Jesus and have it be honored by God? Can it be the things that the Lord never taught? Can we make up our own ideas and teach them in the name of the Lord? Well, Moses spoke of that long ago in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 22. When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. But the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. Here Moses gives the standard for prophecy, and prophecy concerns something that was to happen in the future. He says, if it doesn't happen, you know that's something that God didn't speak. That was that man's idea, and that he is not to be respected as God's spokesman. The scriptures are the limit, not the starting place for what we believe and do. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6 of the American Standard Version says, now these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that in us you might learn not to go beyond the things which are written, that no one of you be puffed up for the one against the other. Don't go beyond the things that are written. Well, what's written? It's the word of God is that which is written. And so don't go beyond those things. See, God's word is the standard of faith. Again, in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 2, ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord which I command you. He said, don't add to it, don't take away from it, because that's the standard. When we deviate from the standard, we deviate from God. The idea that the Bible doesn't say I can't is the foundation of error. Again, in Proverbs chapter 30 and verses 5 and 6, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Living by faith, it requires a word from God. And we have that word in the New Testament. Again, Romans 10:17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We've seen examples of people who lived by faith. Noah, Abraham, Joshua, these all acted according to a word from God. They had the authority. They could do so because God had told them to. We live by faith in the things we say, and of course we live by faith in the things we do. I hope tonight we appreciate the point that our faith, our practice, our service is based upon God's word. And when we follow that, we know that we're walking in the light, that we're walking in faith, and that God will be pleased. When we go beyond that, then we're going out on our own authority, and really it's a disrespect to God. This evening, if there's any who have never obeyed the gospel, it's God's plan for you that you would believe in Christ, repent of your sins, confess your faith, and be buried with Christ in baptism for remission of sins. And as a Christian, if you've been unfaithful, come back in repentance and prayer. Our song is for your encouragement as we stand and as we sing.